Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles with you and you want to turn with us, I'm going to be reading from Exodus chapter 33. And of course, as usual, we'll be giving you some more scriptures as we go along. Well, speaking to you, this being Father's Day, I want to speak to you on being your friend. That is, God being your friend. And I'm going to read in Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 11, because God wants all of us to know that He's not only our friend, but He's the best friend we could ever have. Amen? Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Moses said to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name. And you have also found grace in my sight. I just want to pause there for just a minute. And I said, I want you to know, and God wants you to know, that He knows you by name. Amen? He knows you by name. And if you're a Christian, you've received His grace. You found His grace. Amen? If you're a Christian, we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. God gave it to us because He loves us. Amen? Now, therefore, I pray, verse 13, If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Well, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you enjoy the peace of God? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 15, Then he said to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known, Verse 16, that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And so, both the Old Testaments and the New Testament, the Bible speaks of men and women who walked with God, and to whom God spoke and was a guide in their daily lives. Men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, multitudes of others who were not actually named. They spoke to God, and God spoke to them. They enjoyed a fellowship with Him that was alive and real. He called them a friend, His friend. We have been discussing over the past years in this church a walk with God in the New Testament, walking in the light. And all of us as believers, since Jesus, are under a different covenant than the Old Testament saints, actually a better covenant. We don't just have religion. The religions of this world call Him God. Some even call Him Lord. Others call Him Father. Some call Him Jesus and Savior. But how many of us call Him our friend? And yet that's exactly what He wants to be. Our friend. Several years ago, Brother Scott stood up here and said, Lewis comes in here, leans over the pulpit, and tells us about his friend. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Because whether you realize it or not, you're not only just his friend, but we have something better than the Old Testament saints had, better than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of those people have. How many of you know what that is? We're not just his friend and he's not just our friend. Since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, those of us that become Christians, we're His children. He's our Father. In fact, that's what He tells us when we talk to Him and pray to Him, say, our Father. Our body, the Bible says, is a habitation of God through His Spirit. So, we can talk to Him anytime, and we should talk to Him anytime, because He's with us, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us, like He said in His Word. And so, it's a good thing. The Bible says we're two or more gathered together in His name, that we can talk to Him, and we can agree together on things, and make prayer requests, and so on. But He wants us to know that while we're at home, or driving down the highway, or in our automobiles, or we're on our job, we can talk to Him anytime we want to because we're His children. Wow. What a special honor that is. Not just a friend. We're one of His children. He's our Heavenly Father. And we can talk to Him. As a matter of fact, when we don't talk to Him, He kind of gets jealous because He does want us to talk to Him. And it's not just we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It means we talk to Him about how we feel about Him. We talk to Him about what's going on in our lives. The Bible says we can cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us, because He's our Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? And so I learned a long time ago that wherever I am, I can just say, Lord, Father. I'd just like to say this morning, thank you for
for loving somebody like me, for forgiving me, for taking care of me, for my wife, for my children, for supplying all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I just want to thank you for who you are, for being who you are, knowing that you being God, you can be any way you want to be and do anything you want to do. But you loved us, and you care for us, and you're our Heavenly Father, and you want us to spend time with you and have a relationship with you as our Heavenly Father. Now, some people in life, not too many, but I know of some, and you probably do too, that have not really had a good example of what a father is supposed to be like, because some fathers haven't been really good fathers. They've neglected, they've forsaken them, they've beat them. There's some fathers that are not really good fathers. It's as if they don't even care for you. So maybe if you're trying to think of God as your Heavenly Father, if you haven't had a really good father, or maybe even you just have known your father and he's been the best he could, but he couldn't be God. Amen. So we don't really fully and completely understand unless we just really draw near to him. And he says, draw near to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You know what he said? Somebody said, why don't I feel the presence of God? I said, well, do you draw near to him? You come into his presence and saying, Father, I just want to draw near to you. I want to experience the reality of your presence in my life. I want to experience the reality of your love in my life. I want to experience you. I want to know that you're real, that I can sense your presence and know that you're there, and that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, and that you're the best friend I would ever have. And he is. And he wants you to know that and to understand that, all of us to know that and to understand that, so that we can really start enjoying him as our friend. Most of us approach God, and I don't mean we should approach him irreverently, because we always have reverence for God. Amen? But when we do approach him, I want and he wants us, all of us, to approach him as our Heavenly Father. In fact, when the disciples said to the Lord, because they heard him pray and they saw his prayers being answered, how many of you had answered prayers? Amen? They saw his prayers being answered. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what they were talking about was, Lord, don't just give us words to say, but teach us how we're supposed to pray. How are we supposed to come into your presence? And so he gives them an example, and it's not something that we're just supposed to repeat. It's something that we're supposed to look at so that we will know and understand what he wants us to do. And he says, when you pray, how many of you are here this morning? When you pray, say, my Heavenly Father, hallowed, glory, praise, honor be to your name. Your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Amen? And so he tells us that he wants us to come to him. He tells us, I want you to talk to him. And so over the years, and I started preaching when I started preaching. I gave my life to the Lord as a young man, but I didn't really, as a junior boy, about 9 or 10 years old, I didn't know what I was doing. I just went down there because somebody, that my teacher that Sunday morning said, if you want to get saved, go down to the front of the church this morning. So I went down to the church, in front of the church that morning. I didn't know what I was doing or what was going on. I didn't know what to expect. I just went down there. And even though I didn't know what I was doing, God knew what I was doing. Because he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So I'm glad my mom prayed for me. I didn't know this until many years later after I surrendered to preach. My mom said, told me this story. Lewis, I had three really close friends when I was in high school. We were very, very close. Three close ladies, girls, about her same age, and they were in high school together. And she said, we got out of high school. Everybody got married. Those three got married. And before 3 years was over, they all had a child. And I'd been married about 2 years or so. And I hadn't had a child yet. And she said, I went down to the altar in front of the church one day, and I said, Lord, I don't understand why I haven't had a child yet. But what I'm asking you is, if you'll just give me a little baby boy, I'll give him to you for the rest of his life. I was a dead duck from the start. Even though I had to make a choice, which I did later on, but thank God for a godly mother and a godly father that brought me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, that wasn't mean, that isn't mean that I was a good guy. Because when I hit teenage, I went wild. And I don't want to tell you all of the things that I did from the time I was 13 to the time I was 18 or 19. Because you wouldn't believe it anyway. Or maybe you would. Most people wouldn't. Because I did some crazy, crazy things as a teenager. And as a matter of fact, some people wondered if I was even ever going to survive. I started to tell a story. Maybe I should. I had a guy that, here in Ingleside that had a slicked off 1950, you know, slicked off, you know, 1950 model Mercury. I mean, it was a beautiful car. It was slicked off. It was slicked down. And we decided on a Saturday night that we're all going to go out and get drunk. We didn't have any money, not much. But we went down. One of them was old enough to kind of look like he was 21 or whatever he had to be at that age, and bought two bottles of wine, fifth of wine. And we started off to Tyvola. Y'all know where Tyvola is, on this side of Port Lavaca, on the highway. And it had been raining, and the ditches were filled with water. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that in just a minute. But so we all drove off down to the highway, and we decided to stop for some reason. Marvin pulled over and parked his car on the side of the road, and we all got out. And it was probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're on a main highway, and we sat down in a circle on the center white line in the main highway and put our fists of liquor on the line, and we sat around there drinking. a car could have come over and run us all, killed us all at one time. We didn't have any sense, so we didn't know, you know. So that's just kind of gives you an idea of what I was before I was a Christian. And thank God for my wife, because when I started going with her, she said, "Lewis, I want you to know this right now. If you're going to marry me and I'm going to marry you and we're going to be together, we're going to go to church." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So we went to church. And that's where God finally got a hold of my life and changed me. But after we got up off of the highway and got back in the truck, I was sitting in the back seat. It was the truck, I mean the car, it was filled. There's three or four in the front seat and three or four in the back seat. Kentucky, one of the guys that was with us, crawled up on the hood of the car and stuck his face in the windshield so that he was looking at the driver. And Marvin put that in low gear and took off as fast as he could go. Off of the side of the road, up onto the highway, and we were speeding, and he started sliding off the front of the car. So what did Marvin do? He slammed on his brakes, and he just shot off of the hood of the car. Hit the highway and rolled. Before I could get out of the back seat, they had already taken it over him and throwed him in the ditch face down, and he was drowning. You know, typical crazy kids, right? Maybe not so typical. Maybe not so typical. So I went and got over there and pulled him out of the, before he drowned, I pulled him out. We finally got back in the car and went on over to the Guadalupe, what is it, the Guadalupe River over there. And I think that's it. And parked. Marvin knew I was trying to take care of everybody, so he went up there and on a causeway and threw off a big old log and threw it in the water, and I thought one of them had jumped off, and I was trying to be their savior. I don't know why, I just felt like we were in danger. I didn't realize how much danger we were in, but that's just kind of some of the ideas about the way I was when I met my wife and she said, "We're going to church," and if we got married. So we got married and we went to church. And it was on a Wednesday night, and a guy there that was teaching the young people and part of the church was preaching on a Wednesday night. And he gave an invitation. I went down to the front. And I told him, I said, "Well, Lee, I don't know why I'm here, but I feel like I've got God's call on my life." And back then, when you were called, quote, you were either called to go to Africa or China or Timbuktu or somewhere. And I said, or to be a pastor or to be a teacher or to be a preacher or an evangelist, or you surrendered to something. And I told him, I said, "Well, I don't know what God's calling me to do. I don't know what to surrender to." He said, "Well, that's all right, Lewis. Sunday morning, you just go down to the front when the altar's given, and you just kneel down at the altar and you say, 'Lord, I give you my life. Do with me what you want me to do.'" And so that's what I did. And I've never been the same since. Because God took over my life, and I had a lot to learn, and I had, you know, a lot of crazy things happen over the years, but God's been my Heavenly Father, and I've been His Son ever since. I didn't really understand all of the things that I know now, but I did know that something had happened in my life and that I was what you call saved. I didn't really understand what that meant either, but I found out later on. And I surrendered to ministry. And then that's when my mom told me, before you were ever born, I told God if he'd give me a little boy, I'd give him to you. And I said, Mom, why did you do that? She said, because I loved you. Amen. So thank God for your parents, especially if they love you, if you're still a young person, or even if you're not. You ought to love your parents, especially, good or bad. We're supposed to love everybody. And if we can't love anybody, then God says, ask me, and I'll shed my love abroad in your heart, and then you can love anybody. Amen? Because he does love everybody. Amen? And we're all his children by faith in Christ Jesus. And so I just wanted to tell you this morning and share with you. I thought, this being Father's Day, that every one of us need to know that God is our Heavenly Father and he loves us. That's why it doesn't matter whether you love him or not, or want to be with him or not, or care about him or not, or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. He loves you anyway. Amen? And even those that are lost. Bible says God for so loved the world. That means everybody that has been born from Adam and Eve, that is going to be living until the end of time, he so loved them. Not, he didn't love this ball of globe floating out in the sky. He loves the people. For God so loved the world. And I've told people over and over again over the years, whether you like it or not, God loves you. Amen. And I want to wish you all a happy Father's Day. God bless you, and we'll be standing and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your marvelous love and grace. We thank you for being so good to us, for loving us, and to know that you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you're just a wonderful Father. And we don't just have religion. We don't just have somebody that we call God or Lord or Father. We have a Savior, who your precious Son, who gave his life and shed his blood and went through a horrible punishment and received our sins in his body and died in our place so that we might live. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessings upon everyone today. Thank you for all of them being here. We ask your continued blessing on all of us. We need you, Lord. We love you as best we know how. Help us to talk to you and speak to you and trust you and to love you and to learn what it means to be one of your children. And thank you for supplying all of our needs. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Father's Day.